First John chapter 4. The title of the message this morning, Staying Clear of Deceit and the Great Deceiver. Staying Clear of Deceit and the Great Deceiver. Let's read this again. The book of First John is written to believers. It's to encourage them, right? It's to help us stay focused on what really matters, right? We can get so distracted on the things that don't matter, so distracted on the things that are small, and we just need to stay focused on what matters, and that's Christ and His gospel. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, again, another hint that it's continued to speak to believers. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They, the lost, the world, are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We, as believers, are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, I tell you that title message, Staying Clear of Deceit and the Great Deceiver. So let me give you just a little background, and then I won't speak of it in great detail. We'll mention a little bit, but you can tell here, one of the things that God was using the Apostle John to address to these people in the first century was that there was this false teaching that said Jesus did not come in bodily form. He only came as a spirit being. Oh, it was a mirage. Looked like he had a body, but he really didn't have a body. And it was a big debate. And so it was making people doubt. And so that's why you'll see this where it says, He that confesseth that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he is of God. That's not saying that's the singular test for whether you are of God or not, but it's one of them. So let's be clear. Anyone that denies that Jesus came in the flesh in bodily form is not of God. So you hear that today, you can say, you're not of God. And so that's a simple little, you know, litmus test of people. But, you know, we have almost the opposite problem today. So in the first century, they had no issue of believing that Jesus was God, the eternal, ever-existing one, because they knew the Messiah would be, but this thing about being born in the flesh, though that was clearly revealed, clearly preached, clearly taught, they denied it, and it's sort of what we always have. It's just Gnosticism. Oh, I want to have a special knowledge. I want to know something that you don't know. I want to be smarter than you. And so then we kind of devise foolish things, right? So this is just another one of those. But today, because there's overwhelming evidence, you could, and we should never set the Bible aside, but you could set the Bible aside, and there is overwhelming evidence that Jesus of Nazareth walked this earth. In fact, I tell everybody in this room, when you're dead, there'll be far more evidence in 100 years that Jesus walked on this earth than you. It's overwhelming. You want to be a skeptic? Then read all of the books that were written outside of the Bible. And it'll help you appreciate the Bible even more. So the Bible's true. We know that. And I tell people this all the time. If you don't believe the Bible, I feel sorry for the God that you believe in. If he can't preserve a book, that's a pathetic God. I want you to understand that. I'm not worried that I serve a pathetic God. The God I serve preserved a book. And we have the perfect Hebrew and the perfect Greek today, and we can refer to it, and it is perfect. It is perfect down to what the Bible says, the jot and tittle. It's perfect down to the smallest marks that you have. And that's what God claims. It's his word, and I love it. So that's what they were dealing with, and that's what John is dealing with that issue. So you may not hear me reference that particular issue. You'll see, because here later on when I get into the message, it's this. It is, do you believe in the real Jesus? This is interesting. Every major religion of the world has some appreciation for Jesus. Islam, they say he's a prophet. Every religion of the world, but I will tell you, the Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. It matters which Jesus you worship. Just getting the name right doesn't mean you worship the right Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, oh, they exalt Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. I love Mormons. I love Jehovah's Witnesses. But here's what I try to do whenever I talk to them. I try to help them understand this. One of us is wrong. I'm speaking of a different Jesus. Can we at least admit that? They don't like to admit that. I get them to that point where finally they say, yes, I don't believe in that Jesus that you're talking about. And I said, let me show you, that's the Jesus that the Bible talks about. And so you get the name right, but if you don't know who Jesus is, then you have no hope. The other thing, and this is what relates to us and why I think this passage was given, it was given to believers. You see, all the devil wants to do, he wants to put a little doubt in your mind. He wants to, just a little question, just a little opening in your mind that says, you know, I think most of the Bible's true, but I don't know if all of it's true. I mean, men wrote this book. No, they were just the secretaries, remember? But see, all the devil wants to do is just a little doubt. Is there one passage in the Bible you don't believe? Oh, then he has a little foothold in your life. If you can't believe one passage in the Bible, and some of them are difficult, most of it's not. If there's one passage in the Bible that you think God didn't preserve perfectly, well, then maybe John 3:16 is not right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, all the devil wants to do is find whatever it is to get you to doubt that you can't trust the Bible, then ultimately you can't trust God, and then ultimately, I don't know if everything it says about Jesus is true. And if you begin to doubt, then it opens up just calamity in your life. You see, the devil was at work in the first century. He was like, no, he didn't come in the flesh. And yet there was strong preaching. They said, we walked with him. We handled him. You ever wonder why the Bible is so specific? We handled him. We touched him, right? Because of this false teaching that was going around saying that Jesus did not come in the flesh. I'm just going to give you a simple truth, that if he didn't come in the flesh, there's two things. One, the Bible's wrong. But number two, and the Bible's not wrong, number two, then Jesus could not have performed the work of our substitution if he didn't come in the flesh. You know why? Only one of us could substitute for us. He had to be born of a woman. He had to be born of a human, and it had to be a virgin. Not only did it have to be a human, but it had to be a virgin, because if not, then I'll see you in hell. And all we're doing is just talking a bunch of religion today. The devil loves religion. He wants you to get caught up in religion. Just doubt the Bible. You doubt the Bible, he'll win eventually. And so that's all that this passage is about. Look at verse 1. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. So I want you to see just a few verses here. Believe not every spirit. Now, that is the Greek word pneuma. The only reason I bring that up, it's a small s, and I think it was correctly translated, right? Because there's no capitalization in Greek, so they have to. The translators have to determine, do we think that's about the Holy Spirit? If it's about the Holy Spirit, it'd be capital S. So believe not every spirit. Every spirit can be the spirit of man. It can be an evil spirit. It can be something spiritual. So here's really the context of it. Believe not every spirit. We are in such a world today that it is not uncommon. People like to talk, I'm spiritual. What in the world does that mean? They don't even know, but I'm spiritual. I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm spiritual. Well, who did you listen to, and what do you believe, and why do you believe it? Well, they don't know the answers to that, but I'm spiritual. It's very popular. And I want you to understand this. Today it's this. I've heard it. I've heard it from people that I love. I've heard it from people that are I think, have good intentions, and they go, we need more energy. They're not talking about hope. You know, they're talking about, you know, their church, whatever. We need more energy. We need a little bit more pizzazz. You know, we need some excitement, some enthusiasm, some fireworks. And I'm not against being excited about the things of God. I don't want to put a wet blanket on that either. But it doesn't have to be something that we're seeking. You understand this? You ought to be excited about Jesus Christ because your eyes are on him and you understand what he's done for you. But I will tell you this, you, everybody that says this, I felt it, that means it's true. No, it does not. That's why it says try the spirits. And we're going to talk this morning, how do we try the spirits? Believe not everything spiritual. There's a warfare going out there spiritually. How do you know that what is happening in your life, how do you know that what you experienced is of God? It could very easily be of the devil. Now, God's in charge, and so he would have to allow that. But it's be careful. Here's what I tell people all the time. I get questions all the time. And they'll say, do you think that was of God? I said, maybe. Don't go seeking that experience. What we need to do is seek the kingdom of God through his word. Seek Christ. Keep our eyes on Christ. And God, he does amazing things. And I'm not going to tell God how he can do things. I just don't think it ought to be something that we're seeking. We ought to seek Christ in his kingdom, in his glory, and in just simple obedience, right? I mean, just get a hold of this message we had for Sunday school. How to seek humility. Yeah, that's a foreign concept, right? That would be way better spent than me looking for some spiritual experience. But you know why people look for that? Because they're bored. They're bored with Jesus. They would never say that. They're bored with their Christian life. And so what they need is a little pizzazz, a little energy, and it can go a long way because your flesh, right? That's why you'll see tons of places becoming just like the tailgate party that pumps you up for a football game. We have turned churches into that need. I don't want to be boring. I don't want us to be calloused. I want us to be excited and enthused, and I'm okay with a little enthusiasm in the service. I'm not begging for it. I'm not asking for it. Let's be it from the heart. We have much to be excited about in the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't believe every spirit. Now look at these verses, if you will. Proverbs 14, 15. Remember, I tell you what the Bible says. You know why the Bible's so difficult? Whenever it speaks of us, it normally says, you're pathetic. Right? When does it ever speak well? It spoke well of John the Baptist, but it gave a caveat. It said, John's the best born of any woman. And the least in the kingdom of heaven is better than the best. The wisest man ever to live was a complete moron. Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines, 999 more than what God instructed. And it says his wives turned his heart from God at the end of his life. The wisest man ever? An idiot. The Bible never speaks well of us, neither does Proverbs 14, 15. It says, the simple believeth every word. We've heard me say this before. You don't want to be simple, you want to be wise. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. I want to tell you, you need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You need to be circumspect. That means you need to be looking around, just not swallow everything you hear, everything you see. We are more bombarded in the 21st century than ever before with what's called media impressions. I think I've told you this before from the pulpit. You know, I worked for Procter & Gamble. It was the number one advertiser in the world. I don't have any clue. I've been gone 12 years, so I don't care anymore. But it was the number one advertiser in the world. How do we know we were number one? One, the money we spent, but two, the media impressions that we had. We want to get in your head. We influenced what kind of music was played at grocery stores. Oh, yeah. We influenced where things were located in the grocery store. Oh, yeah. End aisle displays. I got to have that cookie, man. I'll tell you what, I don't know. I didn't come for those cookies, but they end up in your cart if it's at the end aisle display. We paid $2.6 billion, the last I knew, to have end aisle displays because you walk by it, you're like, I need that. Oh, yeah. So it was media impressions. Well, today it's like it's on steroids. I don't even think it can be counted. Social media, the internet, you know, billboards, just you name it. You can't go anywhere. You can't go to a gas station without being influenced by the music of the world. You can't, I mean, there's some restaurants, I'm like, man, I want to tell them to turn it down. It's so loud, right? And so it's like this, you need to be circumspect, you need to be looking around because the devil is after you, he wants to fool you, he wants to deceive you, he's okay if you're that close to being saved, that close to being a great servant of God, but no prize. You got to discern. Don't believe every spirit. Then I want you to see this in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. It is, that's the objective, is that we would be the fullness of Christ. I want you to understand this. This whole thing about when they were saying Jesus didn't come in the flesh, it's to get your eyes off Jesus and get your eyes on different things. You can have your eyes in the Bible and not have your eyes on Christ, and I'm telling you, it'll benefit you much less than if you made Jesus Christ your focus. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every spiritual thing that you encounter. You need to test it by the Word of God. There's a lot of spiritual activity going on. I'm telling you, there's a ton. There's a ton, but don't believe every spirit. But he said, try the spirits. Try the spirits. Just look at a few verses here. What is that about? Romans 16, verse 17. This is right at the closing. Paul's writing this letter. He had never visited Rome. He said, now, until he got there to get his head cut off. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There we go with that simple again. One way the Bible says this, that you can try the spirits. Do the things you're tempted to believe, are they consistent with the Bible? Are they consistent with the Word of God? Most people don't ask me my opinion on things. You know why? Because I'm really interested in what the Bible says. When you hear me say this, because I think sometimes I don't explain it. When you hear me say, I'm making this up, how many of you ever heard me say that? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Nassim, do you know what I mean when I say I'm making this up? You're like, no, I don't. It's like, you know, I'm wondering where that goofy doctrine came from. What I mean when I say I'm making this up, you won't find this in the Bible. Okay? I might believe it, but I at least want you to know. So whenever I say, how many knew that? That's what I meant by I'm making this up. How many said, no, I thought you just making up new teaching, man. I'm like, oh. Okay, when I say I'm making up, you won't find a Bible verse for it. But my first objective, when you ask me for advice and you ask me for counsel, I want to seek the face of God and I want to see what the Bible says. And if the Bible says something about it, that's the first place to turn. You know, I love Clay, Indiana this morning. They're having to be my poster children of examples lately. And so I love this. She asked a question, you know, because their house sale fell through. Because they're not living right. No, I'm just kidding. And so, you know, but they both had a decision to, they were back and forth countering. I think what they were being asked for was ridiculous. I agree with your decision. Not that that means much. But she asked this morning, she said, you know, did it mean anything that both of us were perfectly aligned about walking away? I said, it means a ton. Because there wasn't a Bible verse that says, and when they counter at this, then you walk away. Don't you wish there was a Bible verse? You should not wish for that because God didn't give it. That is wrong. No, no, just kidding. Just set you up. But it's being married, being one flesh, and you're both striving. I know if we get your eyes on Christ, because if you'll watch you'll be discouraged, right? Because you're like, oh, I could do much better. But you're at peace together. I think not only is that good for you to have confidence with that decision, but it also makes for a better marriage too, right? Oh, it does. You're like, I'm so glad. But when you're married, take advantage of being one flesh and when you have that peace, right? You need to seek the peace of God with decisions, but the first place you need to look is the Word of God. The Bible tells us to mark those that teach contrary to the doctrines of the Word of God. Now, that's very unpopular today. It's that we need to like have nothing, avoid them, it says. You see that in Romans? It says avoid them. You don't want to be hanging out with people that aren't teaching the truth. And you know how we really hang out with people today? Nobody literally. It's all virtual. You know, I got a bunch of friends. Probably have zero, right? But, I mean, you're hanging out with all these video people. I'm there, too, sometimes. You got to understand, how do I know this? It ain't because of your experience, because I know it's interesting, too, right? You'd be amazed. I'm interested in the things that I can't do. So I watch people building houses from nothing. You know, I'm like, just in case it gets really tough, I might need to learn something here, right? Because I have no skill, right? So when the going gets tough, they're not interested in what you think. My mind can't build anything, right? So I kind of watch these things. You know, these guys camping out there and like, you know, roughing the weather. I watch those things. But you know what? Waste of time. I'm not saying you can't have some leisure. But you know how they suck you in? I don't subscribe because I'm afraid to. It'll be like, it'll pop up and it'll be like, oh, this is like a sequel. I need to watch that, see what he did with that house. I thought, well, why did they, you know, but I'm getting more godly. I cheat and go to the end. And so anyway, who do you listen to? Who do you let in your life? Who are you? I'm telling you this. If they teach contrary to the Bible, avoid them. It says in Acts, look at Acts. I love the church at Berea. He said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Oh, that, I mean, you know, the Thessalonians, maybe they didn't get to see Acts too fast. They'd have been like, what are you doing? I think that might have stirred the Thessalonica, the church at Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. See, here's what the Bible says. Do you want to know the Bible? Do you want to know God's word? Do you want to have direction for your life? Are you thirsty for it? Are you seeking the Lord's face? Then that's exactly where we need it. And he says, try the spirits. What are you thinking about? What are you planning on? Is it of God? Then test it with God. Then seek the Lord's face. Seek his word and seek his face. And I mean, just what we're talking about in Sunday school. If you're not coming to the 10 o'clock, you need to come to Sunday school. It's been so good for me. And so maybe I'm telling myself, I need the lessons every week. I need the lessons every week. It's good. Humility today. I'd never thought of this. He gives more grace to the humble. I've never thought of it in the way you said it this morning. He's like, when you humble yourself, you get more grace. I know that's what it said, but you know, you said it just kind of in the inverse, right? That's the beauty of preaching and teaching. You kind of say it and it's like, oh. How many of you want more grace in your life? That's the favor of God that you don't deserve. I do. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He resisteth the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna focus on that. And the reason why we ought to be humbled is because of the great love of Christ. But try the spirits. Try the spirits. Young people, I want to just tell you this. It is... I've seen it so much. The devil's brilliant, evilly. You may agree with everything I say until he walks by and you're like, oh man, I like him. Until she walks by and you're like, oh, she is the one, I know it. Because she looks good, and that's in Ephesians chapter 3. Are you going to obey God? Because I want to tell you this. God would never have you date somebody that's not a believer. God would never have you be involved in a deep friendship with somebody that's not a believer. Oh, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't wish calamity for you. Will you listen to God or not? You see, it's easy when we're talking up here. It's like, whoa, you know, Jesus. But when it comes down to here, are you willing to say, I mean, make yourself, I'll never date anybody, you know, just have a big old shirt. If you're not clearly saved, serving the Lord, do not say hello to me. I'm going to make those t-shirts for our teens, right? My pastor said, don't talk to you unless it's about the gospel. You want to talk about the gospel? Stay 5 feet away and wear 3 layers of clothing and do not act like you like me. I've seen it. Will you trust God? You get 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Let's say you're 30 and you're single. Will you still trust God? Or are you going to get desperate? Well, they say they love Jesus. Everybody does. Everybody says they love Jesus. You see, it's one of the number one things. I've joked before. You've heard me say this. I'm going to start a dating service. Because somebody gets saved, and if they're single, oh, here she comes, or here he comes. And it's like, see you later. And I think they were sincere when they trusted Christ. But they wanted a boyfriend, a girlfriend more than they wanted Jesus. I gave you just that example. I love you guys. I'm not, it's not like, I can make, if God's not up there going, I want you to be miserable. You're not going to have anybody ever. That's not what God's saying. He's saying this, will you trust him? I'll tell you this, you dedicate your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will bring somebody into your life and you don't even have to go looking. I can guarantee it. But we think we have to help God. Just trust him. Just trust him. I mean, just trust him. You understand, there's a million of these examples I could have done, right? Are we going to try the spirits? Do we really want to know what God thinks? Do we really care what God thinks? Do we understand that what really matters is what is eternal? I pray that we come back different people from this chili trip. If not, I'm going to give it some time. If not, I'm not interested in taking these trips. Number three, I want you to see this. True spirits confess the true Jesus, right? In this particular passage, they were dealing with that Jesus did come in the flesh. He did come in the flesh. That was the issue in the first century. And so I just want to show you just a few verses that I love, that this is the key. See, this is the distraction. If they began to doubt whether the Jesus that was being preached was the right Jesus, then the devil wins. Get your eyes on Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, the church at Corinth was a very immature. Paul speaking, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Paul was saying this, you know what? I am so concerned that you've moved away from the simplicity of Christ. Everything about our lives, O believer, is about Jesus Christ. Everything about our lives needs to be answered, needs to be wrapped in, needs to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Why do I sin? It's a lack of love for Christ. It's an act of hatred. Why do I sin? It's complete selfishness. It's not humbling myself and knowing that whatever he's asked me to do is for my good, but it's also for his glory, and that's really the reason. The simplicity of Christ. Why am I alive today? Why did I walk up today? Why did I wake up today? Walk up today. Why did I wake up today? I walked up too. Why did I wake up today? So the hip's on my mind, right? It's like, feel good, that hip feels good. But it's like, why did I wake up today? Was it to serve the Lord? I want you to look at one more passage here dealing with this. It's beautiful, Colossians chapter 2. In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. You see, this is about this deceit, being beguiled, being fooled. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying, beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Don't stop. It's the same thing. Just walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. It's all about Christ. And established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Oh, this deceit, this pride, what would be pride? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Remember that verse I read earlier that talked about not being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? The Bible speaks of that, right? It's, are you listening to people that you want to be like? Because whoever you're listening to, you're going to be conformed to them. What are you listening to? What are you taking in? And then I want to show you this. I'm going to bullet point through this. It's going to be so fast. I just want to show you just some simple truths, and I'm going to go through this, I hope, in less than 3 minutes, because I trust you all know this, but if anyone teaches anything different than what we're going to go here, and I don't even have Bible references, but you can challenge me, here's what you need to know. Jesus literally came in the flesh. That is, it's absolute true. He literally came in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. Second, he was born of a human, more specifically a virgin, right? That's Bible truth. Anybody that teaches otherwise is not of God. Number three, he was sinless. He was sinless. He never had sin, didn't sin, can't sin, won't sin. He is sinless. He is sinless for all eternity. Absolutely important. If he wasn't sinless, then we could not be saved. He is 100% God and 100% man. I can't wait till he explains that fully in heaven. And it's not that he can separate his deity from his humanity. It's intertwined. It's who he is. So he's 100% God, 100% man. As God, he is eternal and infinite. Eternal, no beginning, no end. So, you know, he's the ever-existing one. Infinite, there's no limits. Infinite, that's why he could die for all. If he was finite, limited, he could only die for one for one. But he's the infinite God, the eternal, infinite, unlimited God. I praise the Lord for that. As man, he hungered, needed sleep, felt physical pain, etc. That's real. Jesus had to sleep. As God, he was always awake. Swallow that, you know. I mean, I don't know. But he slept. He hungered. He felt pain, right? He took the punishment for our sins. This is absolutely critical. He took the punishment for our sins. You see, anybody that denies this, right? These are just simple truths. Anybody that teaches otherwise is not of God. He took the punishment for our sin. If Jesus didn't, then you have to take the punishment for your sin. If you reject Christ and do not personally believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart, then you must personally take the punishment. But that's not because he's an ogre. He made the way for you to be saved. Will you receive that gift? He took the punishment for our sin. He physically rose from the dead. There's even a movement today that talks about whether Jesus truly physically rose from the dead. He rose from the dead bodily. He had a body when he was on the cross. He took the punishment both physically and spiritually. When he died, they buried the physical body. When he rose again, his physical body was resurrected. And then finally, this is just salvation is simply repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance. It's an abandonment of all. It's turning from your sin, turning from religion, turning from any hope of anything, and you let go of all, and you turn in faith to Christ. That's simple salvation. Anybody that teaches otherwise is not of God. This is important. You need to be able to rehearse these in your heart, rehearse these in your mind, so that when you're thinking foolishly, that you can think righteously and you can think biblically and you can have your hope and confidence in Jesus Christ. He's all that the Bible says he is, and I'll tell you, it's going to be more glorious when we finally meet him face to face. That's the true Jesus. And then it says this. So, you know, you can talk about all these things. You can get overwhelmed. And that's exactly why verse 4 comes up. Look at verse 4. Because all of a sudden, here's what Paul's saying. John's saying this. Hey, you don't believe every spirit. You need to try the spirits. Come on now. And it'd be like if I ask you now, I'd be like, okay, all right. Rachel Mincher, I want you to stand right now and I want you to tell me how you defeat the spirits of evil. You'd be panicked right now, right? And so that's where all of them were. Not only because of public speaking, but it would be like, that's exactly where they were. So what he's telling them is this. Adam, you need to discern the spirits. You need to try the spirits. You need to not believe all the spirits. And then you need to teach those to Savannah. All right? Sweat starts coming down just because I mentioned your name. Let alone the heavy responsibility you have to do what we're just teaching this morning, right? That's where verse 4 comes into play. Okay? It jumped out at me. Verse 4. He says this, you are of God, little children. Just remember that. It doesn't focus it on you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You've overcome the Antichrist because you are awesome, you are disciplined, you are faithful. No, here's why we've overcome. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, if it's my preaching, if it's someone else's preaching and you're overwhelmed, get to know the Bible, trust the Lord. Here it is. Greater, are you saved? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I was at my mom's and my stepdad's for dinner on the 4th. And so they had this neighbor that is unbelievable. I've done a DNA test. He is not their son. I did one and I am. Bummer. So this guy takes care of them. He's done that for 15 years. He's unbelievable. And my parents will mention something that he needs, and he's like, I think he's a believer. And what did we talk about on July 4th? And I said, Scott, who are you teaching that's lost? And I gave him the whole spiel. That's what the Bible says. And he goes, well, there's just one problem with that. He said, lack of self-confidence. And I said, you're a perfect candidate because that's exactly what God wants you to have. He wants you to have confidence in him because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I said, who do you think's in worse shape, me or you? He said, me. I said, no, I'm overconfident. That's that pride thing going on there, right? Let me just tell you this. I'd rather doubt my ability than have confidence in my ability. Which one would you pick? I think our lesson this morning says, you know, you need to be humble and you need to trust the Lord. And when you find out what he says to do, just do it. Stop, man. Well, it's self-confidence. And you know, I didn't give you my normal thing. I'd be like, well, that's right, because God says, don't obey me if you don't have self-confidence. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, the Bible does say, until you know everything, you don't have to obey him. They didn't really know me that well, and they go, really? I go, no, I'm just kidding. We'd like that, wouldn't we? Because if we have to know everything, I don't have to obey him yet, right? If I just have to have self-confidence, then I can always just doubt confidence, and I don't have to obey him. But the Bible doesn't say that. Here's why. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know this, when I'm not willing to do what God wants, you know what? My eyes are focused on old Stevie Boy and not God. Greater is he that is in you. The question is, do we love him enough to say, whatever you've said, I'll do? Or are we listening to the wrong spirits? We being influenced by the world. I'm telling you, there's great joy in the Lord. I hope I don't preach misery in serving the Lord. There's nothing like it. Got to meet this young boy yesterday, Vinny. I mean, I love the name Vinny. Doesn't Vinny sound like just, I don't know. I don't know why. It sounds like he can be the next Rocky. You know, but I like the name Vinny. I was like, Vinny. I like the name Vinny. Vinny, it's a good name. Good name, Vinny. And he kind of looked like a up-and-coming Rocky. He was like, I don't know, he's 10. He kind of had that hair thing going on. And Vinny. Vinny, you know, and Vinny needs the Lord. I said, Vinny, you going to come to Vacation Bible School? He said, oh, yeah. And I said, you have no idea how many media impressions I'm going to give you at Vacation Bible School. They're just going to start showing up in your inbox. And you know why? I'm not Mr. Kid Guy. I love the children. I do love the children. I wish I was better. I was like, hey, you know, we're having so much fun. And but I trust the Lord. He's going to do a work. You know this? I want to get better about reaching kids. I want to get better about loving kids. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm not going to focus on my inadequacies. I'm going to focus on the Lord. He can do it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? I know this young couple right here. You're like, well, can our limit is, you know, kind of 26 and under are the only people that will listen to us. And say something that's worth listening to. Got to get that out of your mind, right? Going to be a missionary? 90, 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30. And before you know it, you'll be one of them. Stop telling yourself you can't. Stop telling yourself who is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You begin to doubt who Jesus is, then you'll doubt that you can do it. And all of a sudden you're like, I can't do it. It's too much. It's overwhelming. And that's why John says, just trust the Lord. Greater is he that is in you. And I'm going to finish with this, a couple bullet points, because I'm beyond time. The world speaks and listens to itself. Verse 5, look at this. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. What do you talk about? I'm just going to real quick. What do you talk about? The world speaks of the world. Do you talk about the things of the world? Is that all you talk about? Or do you talk about the things of God? We're just going to throw up the last verse here. Look at this, verse 6. This is the distinction. Remember, one of the reasons 1 John was written, that we would know that we have true faith in Christ, because he says in verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's believers can discern what is true, and they listen to the truth. Here's kind of the final summary of this morning's message. What do you talk about? When do you talk about eternal things? When do you talk about Jesus? Just when you're here at church? Because the Bible says the world speaks and listens to itself. Of course they do. I had one family, just one, out of all the families I met Wednesday night, and they said, not interested. I said, no problem. Just kept on going. But I'm telling you, that was probably God to speak to 30, 40, 50 families in the most awkward situation, right? I was clearly not dressed for fireworks. I had, you know, khakis and a long-sleeve shirt. But I didn't care. Just walking up and, hey, can I talk to you about Vacation Bible School? Sure. I'm going to tell you about your kids. I love looking at every dad. I say, you want to be a good dad? Yes, I do. I say, then you need to teach your kids about the God of the Bible. Are you doing that? I'll help you. How about this? Let's start with Vacation Bible School, and we'll give you a little jump start there, teaching your kids about God, and then I'll help you. What's that? What do you think? Dads have a tough time resisting that, right? In fact, I'll give you $5 if you register them right now. And you know, yes, I would spend $1,500. That'd be the best $1,500 I could ever spend. You know why? Children are dying. And they're growing up, and all they know about Jesus is he's a curse word. Jesus Christ. That's all they know. It ticks me off when movies, they script that stuff. You understand that? They script the use of the name of God in their movies. You know what the worst cuss word is? Use of the name of the Lord's name in vain. What are you listening to? What are you talking about? And I'm telling you this, we all get sucked into it, me included. The world is flashy. The world has pizzazz. The world makes it look cool, right? I got to run from it. I got to get away from it, and I'm always glad. I do love this. I used to be a sportsaholic. I don't care anymore. I still do kind of like the Reds, but thankfully they're so disappointing that I just need to get right with God and give up. But I used to love sports, and I used to be dominated by sports. And I didn't say any interest in sports is wrong. But I hope in 10 years I'm even less interested than I am today. I didn't say sports were wrong, but are you more excited about some sports team than you are about Jesus? It's because you're immersed in the world. I didn't say you can't like a sports team. The world loves sports, do they not? You ever seen the depression on people when the NFL season's over? They're like, what are we going to do for 6 months? I don't know. And some Christians go through that. You see, our focus, our love, our heartbeat ought to be Jesus Christ, his gospel, his work, and living with him for all eternity. But that's far and few between, isn't it? Me included. Have we been deceived? Does it matter? It matters. And the reason why it's so hard, we've been deceived. Me included. Maybe today just ask the Lord, oh Lord, help me. Help me to not listen to every spiritual thing that comes in my life, but test them. That I would know what is right, I would honor you, and you would be honored. If you're lost this morning, lost in your sin, you're not saved, I'll help you. I'll show you in the Bible how Jesus Christ can remove your sins today. It's not about your goodness. It's not about church membership. It's about simple faith in Jesus Christ. All that faith, Jeff, though, it's with the heart. It's commitment and surrender, right? I'm going to share your testimony right now just because I hadn't mentioned you yet, Jeff, so I'm going to finish with the finale, okay? Just in case you got too comfortable thinking I'm not mentioning you. Jeff came to me, and he sat down. Have I ever told you this before? Maybe I haven't. I've told individuals. Jeff looked at me, and he goes, first Bible study we ever had, he goes, I'm going to believe everything you're going to tell me. But I know I'm not going to heaven. Okay. I sort of had an inkling right then that Jeff had it right here. Jeff had a bunch of religion, had it right here. Agreed with everything I said. I told him, I started with, I'm the greatest preacher in the world. No, I didn't say. So if you're going to believe everything I say, you need to give me all your money. No. So we started with the Bible, and he was in agreement. But Jeff realized, and it's because of the Lord, there's a great difference between knowing and agreeing and surrender and commitment from the heart. Have you seen the difference now, Jeff? Isn't God good? Oh, he's good. If all you have is Jesus here, you don't have him at all. We'll help you. We'll show you in the Word of God how you can go from death unto life. The deceiver is powerful. Don't be deceived. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love, for your goodness,